Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo Bhagavate
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 11, Text 24. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Aham Hare Tava Padaika Mula.
Aham Hare Tava Padaika Mula.
Dasanudaso Bhavitasmi Bhuyaha.
Dasanudaso Bhavitasmi Bhuyaha.
Manah smare tasu pate gunangste.
Manah smare tasu pate gunangste.
Gunita vak karma karotu kayaha.
Gunita vak karma karotu kayaha.
Aham hare tava padai kamula.
Aham hare tava padai kamula.
Dasanudaso bhavitasmi bhuyaha.
Dasanudaso bhavitasmi bhuyaha.
Manah smare tasu pate gunangste.
Manah smare tasu pate gunangste.
Tavak karma karotu kayah. Translation: this verse is spoken by Vritrasura. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? O Lord of my life, may I again become their servant so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes. My words always glorify those attributes, and my body always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. Purport: this verse gives the sum and substance of devotional life. One must first become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, Dasa Anudasa. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised, and he also showed by his own example, that a living entity should always desire to be a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis, Gopi Bhartuf, Padakamalayaur Dasa Dasa Anudasaha. This means that one must accept a spiritual master who comes in the disciplic succession and is a servant of the Lord. Under his direction, one must then engage one's three properties, namely his body, mind, and words. Is there something wrong with that previously? The body should be engaged in physical activity under the order of the master. The mind should think of Krishna incessantly, and one's words should be engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord. If one is thus engaged in the loving service of the Lord, one's life is successful. The topmost position for the living being is the bottommost. That doesn't seem to make any sense. That's because we're all upside down. They're saying we have the class standing on our head. That was a joke. It's supposed to be a joke. But now, right now, I'm not sure what's supposed to be serious and what's supposed to be a joke, because we had a little comedy sketch just before the class, but it seemed to be taken quite seriously by everyone who was involved in it. Everyone wants to be in this material world. Everyone wants the topmost, and everyone wants what's best for them. What is our swartha? Elsewhere in Bhagavatam, we'll find in the seventh canto, Nate vidu swartha gatim hi Vishnu. People don't know that their real best self-interest is in Vishnu, which means becoming a servant of Vishnu. So the whole idea of becoming a servant of God is rejected by the demons and hardly imagined by most people who even believe in God. Just like Indra. Vritrasura, that's his name. He's called Asura by name. Just like people have a surname. Just like Rajesh Gupta. Gupta is the surname. Or Vinod Brahmachari. Brahmachari is the surname. I don't know how that came to be a surname. Some Brahmachari wasn't a very good Brahmachari at some point, and it became the surname. But there are people with the name Brahmachari as a surname. So Asura is his family designation. Born from a sacrificial fire. Born to be a demon. But Indra, he's a theist. Vishnu Bhakta Bhavad Daiva. The devotees of Vishnu, the godly persons, they are devotees of Vishnu, and devotees of Vishnu, they are godly persons. So Indra falls in the class of devas, not in the class of, his surname is Indra Deva. Deva, surname or designation. But his idea is that whenever we get any trouble, we go to Vishnu and he sorts it all out. And then we get back to enjoying life. So at the time when they're in trouble, they'll present themselves very humbly. But that one's constitutional position is to serve is hardly imagined in any religious process. People take up a religious process either to avoid all kinds of service, that means to merge into some impersonal Brahman, and being unsuccessful in their attempts to dominate, then they don't want to be a servant and they can't dominate, so just become nothing. That's the idea. And there are others who are, they're serving, but it's as a business deal. I do this, you do that for me. I offer you something, put something in the box, and you have to give me much more back. So it's a business deal. But the idea of becoming a selfless servant of the Supreme. You may think, well, why? He's already got everything. He can give me he can give me whatever I want for my enjoyment. But this is a misunderstanding of who we actually are. We actually are meant for his service, and we can only be happy in his service, therefore we should desire to be a servant. However, in this verse, Vritrasura does not aspire to become a servant directly of the Supreme Lord, but to become a servant of the servant. And by extrapolation, we can understand that means to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. To be in the very lowest position. Because even if one is the servant of a big person, that's also a big position. Just like the prime minister. Actually, in this country, they have a prime minister, but there's no king. But the minister has to be a minister to a king. A minister means an advisor. So we have the word. We have the words mantrana, which means advice. And mantri is one who gives advice. But now it's become that the minister has become the king, so to speak. So the word, they kept the name of the, they borrowed the title from the British Parliament, but they didn't have a king. So maybe he's supposed to be the servant of the president or something like that. And the king also in Britain is just some, what is that? Constitutional monarchy. It means it's a show. It's not a real king. So the prime minister is supposed to be the first advisor. And actually in Vedic culture, it's not exactly a servant, because in one sense, yes, in another sense, no. Because to advise properly, One cannot be the paid servant of another. He has to have some independence. And he can't be submissive to or dependent on the other. Therefore, the brahmanas were the advisors. They were socially in many important respects superior to the king. And they took the minimum. They didn't live a luxurious life at the expense of the king, so that they could maintain their independence. The story is given of Chanakya. He lived very simply, even though he was ruling the kingdom, but when he felt that his independence, his ability to advise the king was compromised, then just quit. That's all. The independence is required means he has to be able to say whatever is required to the king, whether it's palatable to the king or not palatable to the king. So another kind of servant, there are major servants also in the British household of the lords. There'd be the butler, whose position is the chief servant, who's a personal servant to the lord. And they're all the subservants. There's a whole big establishment, all kinds of people. If you find in Vedic culture the servants of the king, there are people whose job is just something like to collect one herb in the morning and rub it into a powder and put it in the mixture of the king's bath, bathing water. And that's all it is. This Jailalita also, it was reported that she kept one servant only for making Horlicks. So that's the kind of thing that kings have. They keep all kinds of servants who don't really have much to do, but it boosts their image and their ego to have lots of servants. And then there's the chief servant. And as described in the famous of those of lovers of comical English literature in the something Wodehouse Jeeves stories, the servant is actually, the butler is actually more intelligent than the person who's employing him is actually a bit of a doofus or a stupid person, and the butler actually, although appearing to be very humble, he actually controls him. And anyway. But it's different with Vishnu, because he actually is the most intelligent and the most knowledgeable, and therefore it's worthwhile to be his servant. And to be the servant, why should one be the servant of the servant? Why not be the servant directly? Well, the idea is there's a great humility in that. One thing is to aspire to be the servant of the servant of the servant. Because if one desires to be something very big, then there's some idea of competition with the Supreme Lord. And it might appear like that because those who are the very intimate servants of the Supreme Lord, they appear to be almost from an external perspective, they might appear to be in competition. Actually, not competition, but they're equal or more than equal. And therefore, we find that the cowherd boys, they climb on the back of Krishna, treating him as an equal. Arjuna also apologized to Krishna. Where is that verse from Gita? Mm-hmm. Very nice verse. Right. Before that comes Hey Krishna, Hey Yadava, Hey Saketi. Well, before that, anyway, you get the idea that I treated you disrespectfully. But that's actually very pleasing to Krishna, that intimate devotees, they're so intimate that they forget what might be considered to overstep the position of a servant. And the exemplars of this are the gopis of Vrindavan, which is very difficult to understand, and therefore in some Vaishnava Sampradayas they don't touch that subject matter, or they even think that someone who oversteps the position of a servant, they don't understand the intimacy of Leela, and therefore they think that the gopis or Balaram becoming an elder brother, there's something wrong with that. There's so much in the attitude of being a servant that they can't understand that the Supreme Lord, sometimes he likes to play also. And therefore he has devotees who take that role. As a king has the vidushaka in all cultures, the jester, whose role is to, he can joke with the king and call him a fool and everything. But it has to be funny, not just calling him a fool. There are so many stories. Srila Prabhupada used to narrate Gopal Ban stories. For instance, one day Gopal Ban walks into the court and the king asks him, Gopal, what's the difference between you and an ass? So he's, in this way, he's insulting him. And Gopal, standing there, walks toward the king, counts his footsteps. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Reaches up to him and says, 7 steps, Your Majesty. So he can do that. If anyone else does that, then he gets the Islamic State treatment. Off with his head. So the king, he appreciates that also. There's not everyone that can do that. And it can be a dangerous job, because the king might be in too much of a bad mood someday. He's also governed by dharma. Then he also has his ministers there who advise him, well, it won't look very good if you chop off your jester's head. And anyway, if you do that, there'll be no one to joke with you in future. And no one else will want to be your jester. So, the position of being a servant of a servant, why is that? Because actually Krishna, he sees his devotees as more dear to him than himself. So we can better please Krishna by becoming a servant of his servant than becoming a servant of him directly. This is very advanced theology, because most people, even if they believe in God, they don't believe he's a person. If they believe he's a person, they still don't think he's a servant. He thinks, well, every person's meant for serving me, so God's also meant for serving me. And then, if you get the idea of being a servant, well, the idea of being a servant of the servant, it's the highest theology. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada writes here, this verse gives the sum and substance of devotional life. One must first become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Dasanudas. You may think we have to first become. That's where you start off. But gradually I'll go up in the ranks. No. One has to become a... That is one's position. To take that situation. Another thing is that all the top spots are already taken up. There's no room at the top. Radha's already there. Lalita, Vishaka, they're already there. Arjuna's already there. So Arjuna's not going to retire and say, I've had enough of being Krishna's friend, now I'm going to retire and someone else can take over the job. It's not like that. So one can become a servant of the servant of the servant. And our acharyas have described the aspiration for a devotee to, on the order of a senior gopi, to, for instance, collect some flowers and string them into a garland and give it to that particular gopi who will give it to Radha or Krishna, and from a distance, not even directly coming into the association. They stay back, they don't see. And they say, oh, My garland is being given by my Swamini, means her gopi, who she is the servant of, and feels more happiness in doing so than Krishna himself feels in getting a garland. And Krishna, oh, no garland. He's happy, servants are, but the servants, they take great bliss in seeing the one who they are serving, seeing them serving, and Radha and Krishna directly, and they take great pleasure in being able to assist them. And that will be at all levels. Talking about Arjuna, there must be someone, when Arjuna comes from the battle, there's someone who takes off his shoes and washes his feet. You don't hear about them, but someone does that. And Arjuna may not even hardly notice him. You see, he's talking to someone else, and what are you going to do with the bath? And the servant is completely content, and someone else is arranging the water and putting some herbs in it, and they're all completely content in this way, to be a servant of this servant. So this is the sum and substance of devotional life, to become a servant of the servant, of the servant, of the servant, and on and on and on. So, what an aspiration, if we can remember that. This Vritrasura, he prays like this. He's praying directly to the Supreme Lord. Aham Hare, he's praying to Hari, the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada translates Hare as O my Lord, but clearly it's Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's praying directly to him to become a servant of a servant of the servant of someone who is serving at your lotus feet. So it's not that becoming a servant of the servant of a servant, you're somewhere down in the kitchen scrubbing the floors, and the Lord never sees you, doesn't know who you are, doesn't know what your name is. One has a direct, it's both direct and from a distance. The Supreme Lord is completely aware of you, and you are completely aware of him. But at the same time, you want to offer the service through another servant. And we may think, well, not only are the top jobs filled up, but even the subaltern jobs are filled up, but there's room. There's room up there. Krishna can expand himself as many times as are needed for the job, as he showed to Satya Nagnajiti when he subdued the seven bulls who... that was the requirement to marry the daughter of Maharaj Nagnajit, is to subdue these seven bulls. And in no prince could subdue even one of them. But Krishna did so and expanded himself into seven forms to do so. And in this way, he addressed the doubt, the apprehension within the mind of Nagnajiti that, well, Krishna already has six wives, so I'll be quite happy to be his wife and just seeing him sometimes, and I won't get that much opportunity to serve him. But by expanding himself into seven forms, Krishna showed that I can be with them, each one of them, and with you also. And he expands himself into as many forms are required for service, for accepting service. Krishna has unlimited cows and cowherd boyfriends, and they all want to intimately serve him, and their mothers and fathers also want to intimately serve him, but they don't get the chance directly. So Krishna expands himself as the cows, as the calves and the cowherd boys And in this way, all the cows also want to serve Krishna directly as mother by feeding him. They all get the opportunity to serve Krishna directly when he takes the form of the cow. Any number of forms. There are plenty of room. Krishna can and will expand himself. So this is a major theme in the Srimad Bhagavatam about becoming a servant of Krishna. And in this world also we have to associate with devotees. We may say, where is Prahlad Maharaj? Where is Dhruva Maharaj? Where are such great devotees? But we have to search out those devotees, aspire for the association of devotees, tanuvang manobhi, those who have dedicated their mind, their life, their words, their body, everything in the service of Krishna. And we have to associate with devotees and serve them and respect them and know who they are. Not mix up devotees for non-devotees and non-devotees for devotees. There are many, many verses in the Bhagavatam about this, and it's stressed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Among the five processes of devotional service, which are the most powerful, he says, first of all, association with devotees, sadhu sangha, because if there's sadhu sangha, if we associate with devotees, then certainly all other activities of devotional service will go on. If we're associating with devotees, then there's going to be talk of Krishna, there's going to be service to Krishna, there's going to be an atmosphere of Krishna consciousness. So that is the association to aspire for. In this regard, I would like to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, which Lord Krishna himself speaks about associating with devotees. As I mentioned yesterday, this is part two of a short series of talks on associating with, serving, and respecting devotees, because it's an unlimited topic. So short, some selections from Srimad Bhagavatam. So Krishna himself describes his devotees. What do they do? Parasparanu kathanam. Pavanam bhagavadyashaha. Well, what do? They talk about me, bhagavadyasha. They describe my glory. So anyway, so this reminds us of the famous verse from Bhagavad Gita, matyata madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam katayantas chamamityam tushanticha ramanticha. So a similar verse which Krishna speaks to, no, actually it's not Krishna himself, this is before the Buddha. Parasparanu katam. There, this is from the Navayogendra's teaching, sorry. Parasparanu kataram pavanam bhagavadyashaha mito ratir mitas. What's that? Mito ratir mitas tushtir nivritir mita atmanaha. I'm having a little difficulty reading it because it's not in the, it's come out printed strangely. So the translation. One should learn how to associate with the devotees of the Lord by gathering with them to chant the glories of the Lord, which is what the Srimad Bhagavata Prabhupada instituted this. Of course, it's a traditional thing. It's not something that Prabhupada invented, but he made this part of life in ISKCON centers to every day come together. And whatever else we do during the rest of the day, we may talk nonsense the rest of the day and do all nonsense, but at least in the morning we should chant the glories of the Lord via the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the idea is that if we do that, then gradually we'll get the habit of not talking nonsense and we'll want to do that all the time. So the devotees of the Lord gather to chant the glories of the Lord. That's what's going on right now. This process is most purifying. As devotees thus develop their loving friendship, they feel mutual happiness and satisfaction. So again, it's reflecting that Madhyata Madgata Parna Bodhayanta Parasparam Katayanta Chamam Nityam Tushanti Charamanticha. And by thus encouraging one another, they are able to give up material sense gratification, which is the cause of all suffering. So the purport is given. It's quoting from previous acharyas' commentaries. Very relevant to us if we've gathered here together. So according to Srila Sridhara Swami, those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness should not envy one another or quarrel among themselves, giving up all mundane feelings. They should gather together and chant the glories of the Supreme Lord for mutual purification. Well, as we regularly gather together and we study Srila Prabhupada's books, it sounds like, okay, we've heard that before. But to use that much overused word, this is a very beautiful instruction, is it not? Advanced devotees should not envy one another or quarrel among themselves. Giving up all such mundane feelings, they should gather together and chant the glories of the Supreme Lord for mutual purification. To have a taste to glorify Krishna, to actually feel so inspired that we want to glorify Krishna. So Srila Viswanatha Chakravarti Thakur has pointed out that glorification of the Supreme Lord is especially potent when performed in the association of pure devotees, which again reminds us of the Satang Prasangan Mama Virya Sangvedaha, this verse from Bhagavatam. It's difficult to do if you're in association of people who have no interest in or may be inimical to that. It's just not, the feeling isn't there. If we go into a group of Mayavadis, don't go into a group of Mayavadis, but if by chance we happen to be there, then to glorify Krishna, they look at you like with a stone look on their face. Sometimes we're talking to people, I think there's more in the Western countries. Giving a talk, and you look at people and they've got a look on their face like a stone wall. Stone-faced look. There's actually a metaphor in English, stone-faced. They just look like that. There's no feeling, no reciprocation, no appreciation. They're trying to process you and understand, but there's no heart-to-heart contact, no connection. So in the association of pure devotees, they appreciate hearing about Krishna. When devotees engage in Sankirtan, chanting the glories of the Lord together, they experience the highest transcendental bliss and satisfaction. So this is really the solution to all our management, whether there's any rivalry, and just chant Hare Krishna together. Take satisfaction in that. And then what's the need for rivalry, position? No, just be happy in glorifying Krishna together. If one is not satisfied in glorifying Krishna, then one may try to get some satisfaction by name, fame, glory, post, position, and so on. Thus they encourage one another to give up material sense gratification, which is based on illicit sexual connections with women. Interesting. One devotee will say to another, "Oh, you have given up sense gratification. Starting today, I shall also give it up." One should learn to increase one's love for the devotees. Learn to increase one's love, to satisfy them and to give up sense objects unfavorable to serving Krishna. And one should learn to view the entire universe as paraphernalia for the Lord's service. Golok Darshan. This Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur called this Golok Darshan, as opposed to Jagat Darshan, in which we see the world as a place for ourselves to enjoy. By engaging the objects of the senses in Krishna's service, one automatically becomes detached from them. And as one passes one's days in the association of the Lord's devotees, one's transcendental ecstasy increases more and more through discussion about the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So we hope that everyone is experiencing this, feeling more and more happy in association of devotees, discussing topics of Krishna. Therefore, one who wants to be free from the harassment of Maya in the form of sense gratification must constantly associate with pure devotees of the Lord who have no engagement other than chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord and carrying out his mission on earth. So I just thought I'd read that because it's very inspiring and beautiful verse and purport. So now I read it, and if anyone has any questions or comment, please speak now.
You know, in the spiritual world, the pure devotees, they will be in the mood of being das and das. It seems there will be a competition not to serve Krishna directly. And
Das Anudas in the spiritual world. Well, everyone is in their constitutional position. So if your constitutional position is to be Lalita, then you don't say, well, I'm not going to be Lalita anymore. I'm going to be Lalita Dasa, Dasi Anudasi 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 Anudasi. That's her service. We here, our position is to aspire. But she's also thinking like that. She has her subordinate gopis, and she's thinking how I can help them to do their service best. So that's there for everyone. In the spiritual world also, it's not that everyone's thinking about and philosophically thinking about becoming a das and a das and a das. It's just natural and they do it. Here we discuss it, there they do it. And here also we should do it, not just discuss it. Of course, Shukadeva and Parikshit, that was their service. One was speaking and the other was hearing.
Guru Maharaj, in your Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava book, you mentioned how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati described that we are worshipping Krishna because he has a relation with Radha.
So yeah, yeah.
That Radha is our ultimate object.
The ultimate object of worship for the Gauriyas is Sri Radha. Correct.
So from...
it's a long way from piling up boxes to make a stand for the microphone, as started off this morning's comedy skit. Well, it's good to discuss these things. At least we know where we're supposed to be heading for.
Guru Maharaj, Krishna is the ultimate object.
I'm just saying, you know, so when we have... We really have to begin at ABC. And sometimes even after years, it seems we haven't made much progress from ABC. So, it's good to know... We're supposed to be going up there, even if we're traveling at snail's pace. Yeah.
As far as I can understand from Srila Prabhupada's books that we become Dasa, Dasa, Anudasa, and Srimati Radharani, because she is most dear, she offers this to Krishna, and through her, Krishna is very most pleased.
Yeah, that's the idea. We offer everything up through Parampara, as in the verse which we chanted this morning, Srila Prabhupada finishes his commentary on that by saying, if I can find it, by saying that yeah speaking about one should always desire to be a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, a maintainer of the gopis. This means that one must accept a spiritual master who comes in the disciplic succession and is a servant of the servant of the Lord. So that's the idea. We're servants of our guru, we're a servant of his guru, we're a servant of his guru, we're a servant of his guru. And it goes up and up and up and up and eventually reaches to Radha, who offers everything to Krishna. So, yeah.
Then it seems from this perspective that Krishna is the ultimate.
Yeah. According to Krishna is the ultimate object of service. Krishna is Prabhu. He is Savior. He's the Prabhu means Master. He is the one who is to be served. He is the Supreme Lord, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam. Krishna is the Vishay, or the receptacle of to whom all services are. He is the object of love for everyone. And the ashray of love, or in whom the love resides, is Radha. So because Krishna becomes subordinate to love, even though he is the object of all services to be offered to him, but then he also serves her. So when we say Radha's ultimate, that's a very esoteric understanding. It's her supremacy is based on Krishna's supremacy. Speaking from the point of view of tattva, although if we speak from the position of pure love, then yes, we only accept Krishna because he has a relationship with Radha. That's not exactly philosophical. According to Vedic understanding, Vaidaishya Sarvera Hameva Veda, Krishna is the object of love. So this is there are two currents going on, the ontological philosophical current and the current of pure love, rasa vichara. The current of rasa. So both are going on. Both are intertwined, both are inseparable. Yeah, anything else? All right, Hare Krishna, we'll finish now. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Yeah.